Encourage you to take your Bibles now and turn with me to first of all, to Romans 8 and then to Psalm 121. Romans 8, 31. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 31 and reading through to verse 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now turn over to Psalm 121 for our text this morning. Psalm 121. Encourage you at home as well to keep your Bibles open as we make our way through this great psalm. It's entitled, A Song of Ascents, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. This is the word of God. One of the benefits of the current chaotic state of our world is that it forces us all to consider the question, in whom or in what do I trust? When everything is going well, we tend to think that we are in control of our lives. We do what we want to do. We set the agenda. We determine our schedule. We make appointments. We run our own day-to-day affairs. We easily imagine ourselves captain of our destiny, masters of our fate. But now, with the coronavirus dominating the news, many things that we have planned have had to be put on hold. We can't necessarily go where we want to go, and we can't do what we want to do. Many of our plans have come to a halt. Suddenly, we realize that we are not really in control of our lives. We can't steer the ship wherever we want. Our sense of control is an illusion. The coronavirus has popped our bubble. So where do we look? Do we look to the government? Our prime minister has assured Canadians that in the midst of financial uncertainty, we will take care of you. We will help Canadians financially. Should we put our trust in politicians? Are they a reliable anchor for the storms of life? Can they provide stability in the midst of uncertainty? As wonderful as their words may sound, their promises are a flimsy refuge. Then should we put our trust in doctors, scientists, or the World Health Organization? Are they the answer? Well, as much as we appreciate healthcare workers, their capabilities are very limited. Some of them have already died while trying to battle the pandemic. So where do we look? Is there anything stable in this insecure, ever-changing world? The psalm before us this morning is a very comforting one. An expression of confidence in the Lord God. The psalmist tells us that the Lord is your keeper. As we face the challenges and responsibilities before us, we ought to bear this in mind. The Lord is your keeper. It is only through his gracious protection and preservation that we can face the trials of this life without anxiety. And it is only by the grace of God that we can enter eternity. From Psalm 121, I would like to direct your attention to two things. First, the faith of a pilgrim. And second, the faithfulness of a pilgrim's God. We begin with the faith of a pilgrim. The preface of Psalm 121 says that it is a song of ascents. Scholars tell us that the songs of ascents, Psalms 120 to 134, were songs that were sung during the pilgrimage festivals. During the three great festivals of the Jewish year, Passover, Feast of Weeks, and Feast of Tabernacles, God's people from various geographical locations would come together to Mount Zion in Jerusalem. As the Jewish pilgrims made their way to Jerusalem, they would join together in singing these psalms of ascent. These festivals were very special events on the liturgical calendar. In preparation for these festivals, the pilgrims would sing as they traveled. The trip to Jerusalem was called a going up or an ascent. Together they would go up to the Mount of God to celebrate the deeds of the Lord. In all likelihood, Joseph and Mary would have sung these psalms as they traveled to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of Passover. The 12-year-old Jesus would have sung these psalms as he accompanied his parents on the trip. Can you picture in your mind these pilgrims traveling on foot towards Jerusalem? Finally, as they gazed into the distance, they could see the hills of the holy city coming into view. That night, as they would perhaps camp within sight of the holy city, they could lift up their eyes and see those mountains upon which Jerusalem stood. As they saw that mount, it filled them with a sense of peace and security. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. Now, congregation, why was it that they thought of the Lord and his strength as they lifted up their eyes to the hills? Why did those hills make them feel confident and secure? Because the particular hills in view from which their help came could only be the hills of Zion. What other hill would bring to mind the power and might of God and the certainty of his help as recorded here in this psalm? What was so special about Mount Zion? It was there that God had chosen to place his name. It was Mount Zion that was selected as the place for the sanctuary of God. It was there that God had promised to dwell in the midst of his people. Psalm 48 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion." You see, the holy hill of the Lord was where the Ark of the Covenant dwelt, the throne of God, the symbol of his divine presence. As the psalmist lifted up his eyes to the hills, he was reminded of God dwelling in the midst of his people, and that help can only be found in Israel's God. Only he can deliver. He delivers. not only from the wicked who would destroy him, but more importantly, he also delivers from sin. What was so special about Mount Zion? Not only did God dwell there, but it was also the place where the sacrifice for sin was made. Already many years earlier, Abraham had gone up to that mount, Mount Moriah. He was told by God to take his son, his only son Isaac, and to offer him as a burnt offering. As Abraham and Isaac ascended the mount, Isaac said to Abraham, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham's response to Isaac on that occasion expressed the theme of the entire Old Testament scriptures. Do you remember what Abraham said? "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." God did provide a substitute on that occasion for Isaac. As Abraham was about to slay his son, the angel of the Lord called to him and said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad." Then Abraham looked up, and he saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. After having offered the ram in place of his son, Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. "The Lord will provide. In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Years after Abraham, Mount Moriah became the site of what? Solomon's temple. There the lambs continue to be slain in the place of sinners. The flowing of blood and the continual offerings all pointed to the great Lamb of God that God would provide as an offering for sin, our Lord Jesus Christ. Already at the time of Abraham, Mount Zion became a reminder that God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. And so the psalmist can lift up his eyes to the hills and know that his help comes from the Lord. He can look to the hills and know that there is a substitute. There is atonement for sin. There is forgiveness through faith in the blood of the Lamb. Congregation, we today do not lift up our eyes to the earthly Zion for the symbol of the divine presence. We are to lift our eyes to the heavenly Zion. We don't look to the shadows and types of the old covenant. We look by faith to the reality. We may lift up our eyes to the heavenly Zion where the ascended Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. As we lift up our eyes to the heavenly Zion, we may say, at the mount of the Lord, it has been provided. God has provided a lamb for an offering. It is this message that can provide tremendous comfort for all of us during this time of worldwide instability. The government is not our savior. Neither are doctors, healthcare workers, and scientists, as much as we may appreciate them. You are pilgrims on this earth, making your way to the heavenly Zion. As you travel, you face a threat to your soul that is far greater than the coronavirus. There is a far more lethal virus that every man, woman, and child should take very seriously. A virus that ends not only in death, but eternal death. The worldwide virus of which I speak cannot be resisted with hand sanitizer, gloves, face masks, and protective suits. The human race has to consider the pandemic called sin. As you travel through this life, you constantly face the dangers of sin. Therefore, you are to lift up your eyes to Jesus Christ and trust him as your only security. As you make your pilgrimage through this world, you can be assured that there is forgiveness of sin through the blood of the Lamb. Lift up your eyes to Jesus Christ. Jesus entered this sin-infected world and lived among us without contracting the virus in any way. And he died in isolation from both man and God so that we could have an antidote to the deadly virus and receive the gift of life eternal. Yes, lift up your eyes to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the world was as serious about the sin virus as they are about the coronavirus? Sin is the most serious problem for the human race and the most deadly. Sin affects every part of us, our body, our mind, emotions, relationships, motives, choices, absolutely everything. It is the cause of every trouble, sorrow, and affliction. Sin is the world's greatest problem. It is our undoing for eternity, and Christ is the only cure. Oh, that the world would recognize the danger and flee for refuge to Jesus Christ. I don't hear of too many people mocking the coronavirus as insignificant. Most people are taking it quite seriously. People are stockpiling food, wearing masks, and staying at home as much as possible because they believe that the danger is real. But it seems that many in our world have little concern about the greater threat and fail to seriously consider the remedy. Many just go their merry way with little concern about their eternal soul. If you're watching today, and if that describes you, I urge you to embrace God's remedy. It's not that sin might kill you. It will most certainly kill you, destroy you forever. You need the forgiving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is available to you. And if you're a Christian, may God use you to point to sin-infected, perishing sinners. May you point them to the one who lived, suffered, and died so that the deadly threat may be taken away and all who believe may have life everlasting. And then notice also that as this psalmist lifted his eyes to the hills and considered the source of his help, he was reminded of the awesome power of God which brought all things into being. Look with me to verse 2. In verse 2, the psalmist said, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Who made heaven and earth? The psalmist understood that his God was omnipotent, all-powerful. Through the power of his word, he brought all things into being. Heaven and earth make up the universe. He spoke, and it came into being. By faith, the psalmist believed that the worlds were framed by the word of God. For the psalmist, the doctrine of creation was a source of comfort. If God created the world, then surely every part of creation is also under his control, and it is but a small matter for him to help his people. Congregation, these words are also a comfort for us as we face this pandemic. The God who created and sustains the world is the one who sees you, knows you, cares for you, and is able to do what is best for you. As a pilgrim in this world, you can be assured that the God of creation and redemption will never forget you. When you become fearful, tired, and weary from the journey, you can lift up your eyes to your Creator and Redeemer. He will support and guide you along the way. One thing that comes through so clearly in this psalm is the peaceful, confident trust of the psalmist. From beginning to end, this psalm is a psalm of faith. This is the faith that we need as we travel to Mount Zion. Our help comes from the Lord. He created us, He redeemed us, and He will guide us on our journey. We move then, secondly, from the faith of a pilgrim in verses 1 and 2 to the faithfulness of a pilgrim's God in verses 3 through 8. The faithfulness of a pilgrim's God. We have said that Psalm 121 is one of the psalms that was sung by the Jewish pilgrims as they made their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the annual festivals. We ought to bear in mind that in ancient times they did not have great roads as we do today. Their journey to Jerusalem was by means of well-trodden paths, which could often be dangerous, with rocks, stones, and pebbles lying on the trail. The path that they traveled crossed valleys and stretched across mountain passes. Slipping or stumbling could prove to be hazardous. But notice how the psalmist relied upon the faithfulness of his God. Verse 3 says, "He will not let your foot be moved," or "He will not allow your foot to slip." The psalmist knew that the Lord watches over every step that his children take. Not even one step is missed by the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is also true for you today. It doesn't mean that you will never get a sprained ankle, but it does mean that the Lord guides your feet on your pilgrimage to Mount Zion. Each and every day He directs your steps. He does not allow your foot to slip. There is not a moment when He is absent from you. There are times in our pilgrimage when we do not know which way our feet ought to go. We feel stuck. We feel as though every way is the wrong way. On every side there seems to be danger. In those moments, we need to lift up our eyes to the heavenly Zion. He knows the predicaments that we find ourselves in, and He knows the best direction for our feet. As we lift up our eyes to the hills and cry out to Him, He will listen and respond. We know that He hears us because the second line of verse 3, go there for a moment. Second line of verse 3 says, "He who keeps you will not slumber." Verse 4, "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." He who is enthroned in the heavens is never snoozing. Therefore, He hears our cries. It is one who neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord is a faithful watchman, one who is always alert. If you think of those pilgrims who made their way to Jerusalem for the festivals, what a comfort it must have been for them to sing this psalm before they lay down for the night. As they slept, the keeper of Israel was on guard. His eyelids never fell shut. A guard is not much good if he falls asleep at his post. A city with thoughtless and drowsy guards is bound to fall. Careless guards are the ruin of a city. Verse 4 indicates that the Lord is not careless or drowsy. He is fully alert at all times, caring for His people. Do you recall the contest on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal? When the prophets of Baal cried out to their God to send fire upon the altar, there was no response. Complete silence. At noon, Elijah began to mock them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened." The priests of Baal continued their antics until the time of the evening sacrifice. But Scripture says, no one answered. No one paid attention. Then When it was finally Elijah's turn, the prophet humbly prayed to the God of Israel, and immediately the fire from the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the entire altar. You see, Elijah's God was not asleep. What a blessing it is to know that this faithful watchman is our watchman, one who is fully alert at all times. The one thing that really stands out in these verses in the original Hebrew is that word keep. You see it in your Bible? Unfortunately, some English translations have used various words to translate it, but six times in verses 3 through 8, we find the same word keep. Verse 3, he who keeps you will not slumber. Verse 4, he who keeps Israel. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you. Again in verse 7, he will keep your life. Verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Keep, 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 keep. Six times the psalmist brings to our attention that we are to place our complete confidence and trust in God alone. He will keep you, preserve you, guard you. Then, the second line of verse 5 emphasizes the nearness of Yahweh's protection. The psalmist says, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. When you stand under the shade of a tree, it means that you are within close proximity of that tree. If the Lord is your shade, that means he is very near. He is as near to his children as their own shadow. As your own shadow follows you about, so the Lord is present with you. He is your shade on your right hand. He stands there to defend you in time of need. The right hand in Scripture is often the hand of action. It was especially the hand used in combat. In verse 3, the Lord guides the feet of his children. And in verse 5, he is their shade at their right hand. The purpose of his shade is stated in verse 6. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Those things which take place under the light of the sun or under the light of the moon, in other words, whatever takes place during the day or during the night that might threaten the child of God in some way, the Lord is there to protect. Just as the shade of a tree can protect a person from the harmful effects of the hot sun and prevent sunstroke, so the Lord shades those who lift up their eyes to him. He shades them from all harm and danger. Those who traveled to those pilgrimage festivals in Jerusalem knew about the possible dangers which confronted them along the way. There were dangers under the light of the sun, and there were dangers under the light of the moon. One never knew just exactly what to expect. But with the Lord at their right hand, they felt secure. In the 7th verse, the psalmist continues to elaborate on this divine protection. He says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. As he looked to the hills, the place of God's throne and the place of atonement, as he considered that his God was the maker of the heavens and the earth, he became fully convinced that the Lord was able to keep him from evil in whatever form it presented itself. Nothing that comes up in life is a surprise to God or catches him off guard. Nothing. He sees all. He knows all. He directs all. And therefore, he will keep your life. And then in the last verse, the psalmist says, the Lord, Yahweh, will keep your going out and your coming in. Going out and coming in is a way of saying that the Lord shall keep you in all the occupations and affairs of life. In the morning, a person would go out to do his labors. In the evening, he would come in to rest. And so the expression points to the totality of man's activities. The Lord is concerned about his children from the time they leave for work in the morning to the time they return at night. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. As the psalm comes to a close, aren't you fully persuaded that God's providential care touches every area of life at all times? He guards his children in life and will lead them to eternity. God wants us all to confess from the heart, "The Lord is my keeper." Is that your confession this morning? Dear people, what a wonderful passage to consider at a time of worldwide anxiety. As you lift up your eyes to him, you can be sure that not a hair can fall from your head apart from the will of your heavenly Father. The words of Psalm 121 remind me of the words of Paul's great doxology at the close of Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters, this doesn't mean that everything is going to be smooth and easy for the Christian and that we will never have troubles. Far from it. When Psalm 121 says, "My help comes from the Lord," it is acknowledging that we are going to need help on our pilgrimage. We are going to need his care on our journey. When the Apostle Paul says that nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ, he's not denying the destructive forces that surround the Christian. On the contrary, he is acknowledging that there are numerous troubles. But none of them can successfully separate the believer from the love of Christ. The point of Psalm 121 is not that we will never have difficulties, but that God will keep us by his side as we journey through them. God always proves himself faithful. Faithful. When you read through many of the other psalms, you realize that the righteous suffer some terrible afflictions and persecutions. The children of God are not free from suffering. We do live in a fallen, broken world of sin. Thorns and thistles are in every area of life. But in the midst of it, the Lord will keep his own for himself. He is faithful. He will keep your feet from slipping. He will be a shade at your right hand. One writer said this. Listen. Christians travel the same ground that everyone else walks on. Breathe the same air. Drink the same water, shop in the same stores, read the same newspapers, are citizens under the same governments, pay the same prices for groceries and gasoline, fear the same dangers, are subject to the same pressures, get the same distresses, are buried in the same ground. The difference is that each step we walk Each breath we breathe, we know that we are preserved by God. We know we are accompanied by God. We know that we are ruled by God. And therefore, no matter what doubts we endure or what accidents we experience, the Lord will preserve us from evil. He will keep our life. You see, congregation, every believer faces difficulties. The path of our earthly pilgrimage is not always easy. But when we face those difficult moments, the Lord calls us to lift up our eyes to the heavenly Zion and say, "The Lord Jesus Christ is my keeper." He faced the ultimate difficulty, the ultimate pain, the ultimate suffering in my place so that I may have life. So when you experience trouble in your family, in your business, with your finances, or with your health, lift up your eyes to the heavenly Zion and say, "My help comes from the Lord. Yahweh is my shade. He will preserve me from all evil. He will watch over my coming and going, both now and forever." Yes, there can be numerous obstacles, griefs, and perplexities on our Christian pilgrimage. But in all these things, we may live with the certainty that the Lord surrounds his people with his love in Christ Jesus. He wants you to entrust yourself, your life, your future, your going out and your coming in to him. Trust that he is faithful. Tribulation, he is faithful. Distress, he is faithful. Persecution, he is faithful. Famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, he is faithful. Nothing can separate us from his love. May God give us the grace to be able to say with the prophet Habakkuk, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Dear brothers and sisters, perhaps some of you are nervous. You see some empty shelves at the grocery store. You hear about the numerous deaths in Italy, almost 5,000, almost 13,000 around the world. You hear about the packed hospitals and military trucks carrying away coffins of coronavirus victims in Italy. You hear about businesses that are suffering financially because of forced closures, as well as economic losses due to the instability of the markets. Perhaps you hear all these things and you feel the anxiety arising within you. I want to remind you this morning to lift up your eyes to him. Lift up your eyes to the Lamb which has been provided as an offering. Lift up your eyes to your faithful covenant God. Although you will not escape all suffering, he will not fail you or disappoint you. He has led countless other pilgrims on their journey and brought them safely to Mount Zion. He directed their steps and led them onward without allowing their foot to slip. He guided them in life and preserved their soul in death. Congregation and friends, what the Lord has done for them, he is able to do for you. As you trust your faithful covenant Lord, he will lead you onward. He will preserve your going out and your coming in, not only now during this worldwide pandemic, but even forevermore. And if any of you are still lost in sin, I urge you to lift up your eyes to Jesus Christ. Trust his atoning sacrifice. Believe that he bore your punishment on the cross. Turn away from your sin, and then you too can be assured that the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper.